Okay, here we are online in Fiji, and welcome to this evening's installment of the Ramayana leading up to Ram Navami, which here is going to be on the 2nd of April, and that's going to be Thursday. So, what I'm going to do is chant. Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram first, and then we're going to tell some very interesting stories. Tonight we would like to tell the story of the appearance of Hanuman and also the appearance of Bali and Sugriva. Very, very interesting stories. So let's chant, and if you like, you can chant at home with me responsively. Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram. Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram. Jaya Jaya Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai 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 Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita 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 Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Upati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghavati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai 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 Ram, Jai. All gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ramchanda Bhagavan Ki Jai, Hanuman Ki Jai, Vibhishan Ki Jai, Sita Devi Ki Jai. So, and also Lakshman Ki Jai, Bart, Shatrughna, like this, Ki Jai, and even Kaikeyi Ki Jai, even Mantra Ki Jai, Kausalya Ki Jai, Sumitra Ki Jai, and all the residents of Ayodhya Ki Jai, and all the assembled Vaishnavas Ki Jai. So tonight I thought it would be very interesting to tell another one of the side stories in the Ramayana, and this is the story of Hanuman, and also the story of Bali and Sugriva. So, here is the story for those of you who want to hear the story. A very wonderful story. So, the story of Hanuman starts many, many, many years before the appearance of Lord Ram, and even before the appearance of Hanuman. And it involves a curse. So, what happened is that people asked the question, why did Lord Ram have to take the help of a monkey? You know, that's a little embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, usually if you're going to take someone's help, at least it should be a human being, at least it should be a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, but not a Vaishya or a Shudra. And what to speak of a non-human entity. So this is the story of where Ram had to take the help of a monkey. And also how he was cursed to be separated from his wife and the appearance of Hanuman as a result of that. So here we go. And of course all these stories, they actually are arranged by the Supreme Personality of God. And even when we hear curses or Dasaras getting cursed to die because of feeling separation from his son, this is actually all the Lord's plan. And one may ask, with the Lord is planning all these things, why is he so cruel to his devotees? Oh my God. It appears that he's extremely cruel. Look at Dasara, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sita Devi, you know, the Lakshmi, the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why does the Lord act like that towards his devotees? So you have Queen Kunti, who was subjected to all these miseries. Well, this is a very interesting explanation. Or the gopis who were separated from Krishna when he left Vrindavan at 16 years of age, Samacharya say 12 years, Prabhupada said 16. There's a reason, and the reason is that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And that may appear a little trite for me to say that. But it's the case that in the spiritual world, in spiritual affairs, when one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the spiritual master, there's no separation. And the more intensely you think of the object of your beloved, then there's more connection. The more intensity, the more connection you have with the object of your beloved. And of course, in the material realm, that's sort of reflected in a perverse way. This evening we were telling the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, who is feeling great separation from his girlfriend, Chintamani. And he was feeling so much separation that he crossed a river during a raging flood and terrible storm and lightning, held on to like a crocodile, climbed a wall, holding on to what he thought was a snake, and actually it was, I mean, he thought it was a rope, and actually it was a snake. And then finally he arrives at Chintamani's door, all disheveled, his clothes were torn, and he knocks on the door, and Chintamani's very, very surprised to see him. And Chintamani says, Bilva Mangal, if you had so much love for Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee by now. And therefore he took sannyas. So the famous story. Recently in Fiji there was an interesting story. There was one man who could not bear separation from his girlfriend. So what happened is that there was actually a block in the road here, because there are some quarantine areas, particularly one city called Lotoka, in which everyone is not allowed in or out of because they had coronavirus cases there. So this particular individual walked 35 kilometers to see his girlfriend against the law. Then he had to go to jail. So such is the determination of one who is feeling separation. They're willing to do anything. But in the spiritual realm, that mood of separation connects one ever more deeply with one's beloved. So all these difficulties you see the devotees enduring, in one sense, in a higher sense, are actually symptoms or manifestations of a devotee's love for Krishna. It's like Srila Prabhupada. In coming to the Western world, he had to undergo so many austerities, such as crossing an ocean, having heart attacks. Even before he went to the Western world, he was gored by a bull, and he was not deterred. So when a devotee undergoes all these austerities, it proves his devotion, it glorifies the devotion. As Prabhupada said once, when he was asked why there's so many difficulties in a devotee's path, Prabhupada said, without austerities or difficulties, where is the chance for glorious victory. So this is one thing, one reason. So when the Lord and his consort is separated, they are never separated. And when people in the mature world are separated, they are separated. And when they're together, they are separated. So if you want true love, love Krishna and all of his parts and parcels. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanapashati sarva bhutesha chatmanam tato navigupshate. So let's go on with the story. And there's quite a few curses in this story. So once upon a time, Narada Muni wanted to engage in austerity. And so there's this place that was manifested by Lord Shiva, who was known as Tapovan. Now, van means forest, and tapa means austerities. So in this Tapovan, Narada Muni started meditating on Vishnu, as Narada Muni usually does. And in order to test his determination, you had Vayu, the wind god, Varuna, the water god, and Agni, the fire god, trying to harass him. And Narada Muni was not harassed. And he was very happy about that. And finally, these demigods went to heaven. They said to Indra, we weren't able to stop Narada Muni from his meditation or get him to withdraw himself from his meditation. And so Indra said, all right, I have a very special weapon. And that weapon is Kamadev. I think you've all heard of Kamadev. Kamadev means Cupid. Cupid has arrows, five arrows, form, taste, smell, taste, etc., the objects of the senses. And when you're least expecting it, boom, he fires his arrows at you, and you are in love. That's quite funny. So when you're in love, guess what happens? Then you forget about everything. And so Narada Muni had these arrows fired at him, and he didn't get disturbed in the least because he was meditating on Vishnu, meditating very, very strongly. So Kamadev tried everything in his power, and all the apsaras, the young girls, they were dancing and everything like that. He couldn't do anything. So Narada Muni came out of his meditation after a few hours, and he said, well, I have defeated lust. I have defeated Kamadev. I've defeated the gods. And he went to Lord Shiva, and he said to Lord Shiva, actually, I have conquered lust. Now, there's a problem with that. Whenever someone says they've conquered lust, or they're on a higher platform of devotional service, they're in trouble. Like Prabhupada one time said about us, Western boys and girls, because I'm not sure if I'm still a Western boy, certainly not a Western girl, but Prabhupada one time said about us Western boys and girls, he said, you're not enough afraid of Maya. And I can also say that about just about everybody in this world. They're not enough afraid of Maya, because the principle of Maya is karnam guna sangasya sarasa janma jonishu, that by association one becomes entangled. So when we're not careful, we take a bad association, or we even associate with the pride in our minds, as Narada Muni was at this particular juncture. So Narada Muni was bragging to Lord Shiva. He said, I have conquered lust. I have conquered Cupid. This is wonderful. And Lord Shiva said to him, gave him some instructions. He said, don't say this to Lord Vishnu, just like cool it, don't say it to Lord Vishnu. And so Narada went out, and he was so full of happiness at having conquered lust and what we call a little bit of self-aggrandizement. I don't want to say he was conceited. This is a pastime. Believe me, it's a pastime. Just like you have the pastime of sometimes the gopis cursing, and then they have to take birth on the earth, the whole Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha story. So this is a pastime. not to criticize Narada Muni. He takes part in pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada, he went to Lord Vishnu and he said, "Hey, Lord Vishnu, I have conquered lust. Because this is very bad. I have conquered lust. I am Krishna conscious." Sometimes we hear devotees say that. "I'm on a higher level of devotional service." You got a problem there. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his poem, "Mama Nivedana Shuno Vishaya Durjana." "My dear Nanda, I'm a materialistic rascal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping. I'm devoid of all sorts of good qualities." So this is how a devotee should feel. Not depressed, but just basically humble. That I'm dependent, because without thinking like that, one will not be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. One will think, you know, I can do everything myself, I'm intelligent, I am a controller, I have all these good qualities, I'm attractive. And so we're going to hear this in the case of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni had to learn a lesson. So once upon a time, he went to visit a king. And as he was visiting the king, there was a young princess there. And there was a prediction made that anybody who married this particular princess would become like the Lord of the universe. And Narada Muni was the actual one who gave the prediction because he read her palm. There's my palm. He read her palm. "Whoever marries this lady will be the king, a great king, and he's going to live just like the gods." So Narada Muni, because he had been proud, he said, "Why shouldn't I marry this girl?" And he thinks, you know, I have to make an arrangement to marry this girl. So he went to Vaikuntha, the Lord Vishnu, and he said, "I have to ask a favor for you, or from you." And Lord Vishnu said, "What?" He said, "I want to get married." And Lord Vishnu said, "What? I thought you had conquered lust." And Narada said, "I did conquer lust, but now I definitely want to get married." And so Narada said, "I want to have the face, just like your face, the face of Hari. You know, just as good as Hari, or a face like Hari." Okay, like Hari. And so Lord Vishnu said, "Okay, I'll give you this particular favor if this is what you want." So the princess went to her Swayamvara, and there was Narada Muni, and I think most of you know that Narada Muni, at this particular juncture, had the face of a monkey. Because Hari can also mean monkey. So this princess went around to choose her husband, and she went by Narada Muni, and Narada Muni just thought, you know, she must marry me. And everyone began to laugh at him because he had a face like a monkey. And Narada said, "Everybody must be making a mistake. I'm extremely handsome. I am deserving of this garland." Everyone kept laughing. And Narada, he was thinking, what's happening? He went and he took a mirror or a looking glass or whatever they used at that particular juncture. And he looked at himself and he saw there was a monkey's face. And when he did that, he got so angry at Lord Vishnu, he took some holy water and he threw it to the ground and cursed Lord Vishnu. He said, "You're going to have to take shelter of a monkey to be successful. And also, you are going to be separated from your wife." So, anyway. So Lord Vishnu was very happy to receive this particular curse because he understood this was going to be very helpful in his defeating Ravan and taking help of his eternal servant, Hanuman. As I mentioned before, there's so many curses that go on throughout this. Like Ravan was cursed so many times by Vedavati, he was cursed by Parvati, he was cursed by Nandi, he was cursed by Nalakuvara, So many curses. Oh yeah, one thing I wanted to mention about Hanuman, I mentioned one of his curses the other day. He was actually cursed at one point. Ravan, I'm talking about. Ravan was cursed at one point that he would die when a monkey spat on his face. And so there was one time when Ravan was actually looking at himself in the mirror, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the prettiest Rakshasa of them all? And as he was looking at himself on the mirror, from the mirror, Hanuman actually made himself very, very, very tiny. And Hanuman was on the mirror, and Hanuman was spitting at Ravan. And then it was understood. Ravan didn't know what was happening. He just thought, you know, maybe there's a little breeze in here, or it's raining or something like that, and the roof is leaking. And that was something that came before Ravana's demise or defeat at the hands of Ram. So that's the beginning of the story of why Lord Ram had to take shelter of a monkey and also be separated from his wife. So let's get back to the story of Hanuman, which is one of my favorite stories. And so here's the story. Once upon a time, as all stories go, very interesting, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were engaged in loving relationship, and sometimes when different demigods would engage in loving relationships, they would take different forms, and this was similar to a simian form, a monkey form, and there was basically a pregnancy, and Parvati said that I definitely do not want to give birth to a monkey. I previously had a elephant, or at least an elephant head. We understand that. That's Ganeshji. And so, therefore, Lord Shiva called for Vayu. And Vayu carried the embryo from Lord Shiva to the womb of Anjani, who is Hanuman's mother. Now, interestingly enough, Anjani was not just an ordinary old monkey lady. She was previously the servant of Brahaspati. Brahaspati, of course, is the priest of the demigods. And Brahaspati got very angry at her one day because she had become lusty. She had seen some Gandharvas and Apsaras. Like I mentioned before, when one meditates or sees things or comes in contact with the modes of nature, one's whole consciousness becomes affected. That's why Prabhupada said we only eat prasadam, and only eat prasadam that is cooked by devotees. Why is that? Because when people cook food, then it influences even the molecular structure of the food. So the consciousness, which is covered or carried by the blood in the body, gets affected by the modes of nature. So if you eat food cooked by a wicked person, your mind becomes wicked. And if you eat food cooked by a pure devotee, your mind becomes purified. And if you eat food cooked by a devotee and taken, you're taking the remnants of a great devotee, then you get really purified. Actually, there's this interesting story in Chaitanya Leela of this devotee, Kalidas, who would take the remnants of each and every other devotee in the Navadvipa area, even if that other devotee was from a Shudra family. There was one interesting interaction told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there was this devotee, Jadu Thakur, from Banamali family, a lower class family, and Kalidas gave him a mango, and after some time, Kalidas left the house, and Jadu Thakur ate the mango, shared it with his wife, and they threw away the pit and the skin, and Kalidas was waiting outside their house and sucked on the skin and on the pit. You may think this, ooh, horrible, but taking the remnants of a great Vaishnava, is one of the most wonderful, powerful things you can do in Krishna consciousness. It's described that the foot dust, prasadam remnants, and also the foot bathing water are very powerful substance of a pure devotee. Of course, all those things of a pure devotee. And because of that, Kalidas was later on able to drink the foot bathing water of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he entered the temple of Lord Jagannath, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never let anyone else do. So anyway, getting back to the story of Brahma. So Anjani, she was cursed by Brihaspati because she became so lusty seeing these Gandharvas and the Apsaras that she embraced Brihaspati, and Brihaspati said, "You are acting like a monkey, therefore you should become a monkey." And she became a monkey, and she was given the benediction that as soon as she gave birth to a child, then she would go back to Brihaspati. So she gave birth to Hanuman, and actually when she was pregnant with Hanuman, there's an interesting story that's told in one of the Puranas that some of you may have not heard, is that Bali, you know, Bali, the brother of Sugriva, half-brother of Sugriva, attacked the embryo of Hanuman. But the embryo of Hanuman was so powerful that Hanuman, as an embryo in the womb of Anjani, diffused this weapon, and the weapon actually became his earrings. Whew. Wonderful story. So then, finally, Hanuman is born, and his mother flies back to the heavenly kingdom. And as she's flying back to the heavenly kingdom, he asks her, "What should I eat, Mom, now that you're going away?" And she says, "You know, some nice round fruit. Orange fruit, preferably." And so he looks up in the sky, and he sees, wow, there's a big fruit there. And he flies immediately for the big fruit in the sky. And, of course, that big fruit is the sun. And he keeps chasing the sun. Same time that he's chasing the sun, there's someone else who's chasing the sun. And that is Rahu. Now, you remember the story of Rahu is actually from the story of churning of the milk ocean. When the milk ocean was churned, the nectar came out, and the demons stole it first, but the demigods got it later because Mohini Murti took it away from the demons. Rahu, actually, and Ketu, saw what was happening, and Rahu snuck in amongst the demigods and drank some of the nectar, but Lord Vishnu cut his head off. Right after he drank a tiny bit of nectar, it hadn't gone down any further than that. So his head sort of remained, and that head is the inauspicious aspect that covers the sun and the moon during the periods of an eclipse. It's the nodes of the sun and the moon. It can be calculated quite nicely by astrologers and astronomers. So Rahu was also upset that Hanuman was chasing the sun. And Rahu basically got flicked away by Hanuman. Rahu went back to Indra and said to Indra, "This is my job here." And Indra went to attack Hanuman. And Indra tried his best. Finally, he fired his vajra, his thunderbolt, and he hit Hanuman in the jaw, and Hanuman fell to the ground. And everyone in the universe thought, Hanuman is finished, Hanuman is dead. So Hanuman's father, Vayu, at least the person who had given the embryo to Anjani, he got really upset, and he thought, "Look, this is it. I'm going to make sure that no one lives in the whole universe if Hanuman is not brought back to life." So what he does, of course, is cuts off the air. Now, you can't live very long without air. Not only the air insofar as breathing in, breathing out, but the airs within the body, you know, the upgoing air, the downgoing air, prana, apana, etc., like that. So basically everyone in the universe was having trouble. And because they were having so much trouble, having the air choked up, off, they went to Vayu and prayed to Vayu. Vayu agreed, if you bring Hanuman back to life, I will release the air. So he released the air, and all the demigods gathered to give Hanuman great benedictions. Brahma gave him the benediction of a very long life, and Vishnu gave him the benediction to be the greatest devotee. Indra gave him the benediction that no weapon would ever hurt him. Agni gave him the benediction that fire would not hurt him. And of course this came in, was very helpful later on when Ravan and his cohorts set fire to the tail of Hanuman. And then Kala means time, gave him the benediction that he wouldn't die. And all the demigods gave him the benediction to be the strongest person imaginable. Even there's a story later on. Let me tell that story now. Guru, we're liking to tell stories within stories. Then once upon a time when Lord Vishnu was present, a little over 5,000 years ago in Dwarka, he asked to see Hanuman. Of course, Vishnu was present as Dwarkadish. You know, that's Krishna in Dwarka. So he sent Garuda to bring Hanuman to see him. And when Garuda got there, Garuda said, Lord Vishnu or Dwarkadish would like to see you. And Hanuman said, no, I'm not going anywhere unless Lord Ram orders me. And Garuda tried to force him, and Hanuman just flicked his tail at Garuda, and Garuda went spinning back all the way to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dwarkadish. And Dwarkadish had arranged this particular exchange just to teach Garuda not to be so proud. So later on, Dwarkadish, Lord Vishnu, took the form of Ramchandra, and Rukmini took the form of Sita Devi, and they called for Hanuman, and Hanuman came back gladly on his own power to see them. So that is the dedication that Hanuman had. So, and nobody, even Garuda, could defeat Hanuman. So it was decided that Suryadev would be his guru. Suryadev, of course, is the great sun god. And the problem with Suryadev being a guru is that Suryadev keeps moving. So if you're going to take instructions from your guru and he's moving all the time, you have to move backwards. And so Hanuman had to fly backwards, take instruction from his guru. And it's a very interesting thing that Prabhupada also said something similar about himself. When the devotee said, we'd like the dust of your lotus feet, Prabhupada said, my feet are always moving, therefore you have to go out and preach. So a little bit similarities to this, these two stories. So anyway, so then when Hanuman was finished taking instructions, he basically asked his guru, what do you want? And his guru Suryadev said, I want you to always serve my son, Sugriva. And so why was Sugriva the son of Surya? Let's tell that story in the middle of the story, because I said I would tell the story of Bali and Sugriva's birth. Okay, here's the story of Bali and Sugriva's birth in the middle of the Hanuman story. So, once upon a time, the sun god had to stop in his path as he was traversing the heavens. And he has a chariot driver. That chariot driver also had to stop. And the reason they both had to stop was very interesting, was that they were stopped by a lady. And that story is in the Markandeya Purana. So, once upon a time, story within a story within a story, okay, I know that. Once upon a time, there was this man who had leprosy, and he had a chaste wife. But this man wanted to associate with a prostitute. So the chaste wife began to serve the prostitute. I don't recommend that. And eventually the prostitute agreed, and the man was going to see the prostitute, and then he realized his wife was really chaste. And he gave up all desire to see the prostitute. But on the way back to his home, he inadvertently, that means by accident, touched Markandeya Rishi. He got cursed to die before the rising of the sun the next day. And his wife, being so chaste, said, "I'm going to stop the rising of the sun so my husband will live." And the sun stopped in its path. The sun couldn't go anywhere because the chaste wife's or the chaste lady's potency, shakti. So one has to be very careful. When one offends a chaste lady, you're finished. Completely finished. There's nothing you can do. Except for beg forgiveness, of course, but most dangerous thing. It's like Vaishnava aparada. It's like offending a cow, because in Vaishnava society, you're supposed to protect cows, old people, Brahmins, of course, children, and sannyasis. So anyway, I had the sannyasis one. So the sun stopped in its path, and the sun god, Vivaswan, his charioteer, Aruna, had a little vacation. They don't usually get vacations. So Aruna, the sun god's charioteer, decided to go to Indra's assembly house and to see some of the dancing girls there. Because every night or day or whenever it was in the heavenly planets, there was a nice performance. And so he tried to go in, and he was stopped by what we would call in modern terms a bouncer, whoever was the guard. And the bouncer said, "You're not allowed to come in because you're not one of the regular people here. Plus, there's just a lot of ladies here." So he thought, "I want to go in and really see what's happening." So he transformed his form into the form of a lady. And that particular lady's name was Aruni. So Aruna is masculine, Aruni is feminine. So transformed himself and went into the assembly house where all the dancing girls were, but she was a lot more attractive than all these little dancing girls, because I guess absorbing the sun rays does a lot for your complexion. It was very, very effulgent. So Indra looked at him, her, and Indra said, "Wow." And he dismissed the rest of the girls and talked to Aruni and said, basically, hello. And as a result, there was a child born, and that child was Bali. Okay. So Aruna hurries back to where the sun god is, because the sun god's getting ready to go again. And the sun god says, "Where did you go?" And Aruna, at that time, in the male form, said, "Basically, you don't want to know the whole story. We'll tell you later. It's not important." The sun god said, "Yes, tell me. I'm your boss. You have to tell me." And Aruna said, "Well, this is what happened, a little mistake I made." The sun god said, "Okay, I want to see that form. It sounds like an interesting story." So he saw that form. Aruna transformed himself into Aruni, and as a result, Sugriva was born. So you have Bali. Of course, Bali was much stronger than Sugriva because he was the son of Indra. And Indra is the head of the administrative demigods. The strongest, of course. And so Sugriva is a little less strong. So that's the mystery of Bali and Sugriva. So because Bali was the son of the sun god, therefore, and Sugriva was the son, Bali was the son, Bali was the son of Indra, and Sugriva was the son of the sun god. Therefore, Hanuman was asked to always protect the sun god's son. who was Sugriva. So he was given that duty, and that's why Hanuman was with Sugriva. And it's also interesting to note that in some of the Puranas, it mentions that Hanuman actually compiled his own Ramayana. But because of his humility, he actually didn't allow it to be recited or published or whatever, because he wanted to respect the great sage Valmiki. So, as Hanuman grew, several things happened. One is that there was a particular period in Hanuman's life, and I'm not sure exactly when this occurred in Hanuman's life, that it was his Saturn period. Now, many of you are very concerned about your Saturn periods. That means a period when Saturn is present in your horoscope and it's supposed to be very unfortunate. And usually you use that as an excuse why you can't chant your rounds or can't do devotional service or whatever. You're hopeless because it's my Saturn period, Prabhu. Don't you understand? I will become a good devotee in, 2 years from now. That'll be a better period for me. Actually, that's a bunch of nonsense. Because Prabhupada said when one chants the holy names of the Lord, then Krishna with the tip of his toes can kick away, not only Saturn period, but can kick away millions of Rahus. So the whole point is to chant the holy names of the Lord, and if something happens to you that's traumatic, that's arranged by Krishna to help you advance in devotional service or to help with his pastimes. As we mentioned before, many of the what we would consider inauspicious things that happen within the Lord or his devotee's pastimes, are many of those things are arranged to glorify the devotee or to help the Lord in his pastimes, such as Dasarath, as we mentioned before, Dasarath getting cursed to die, feeling separation from his son. And Dasarath, you might say he had to suffer, but that suffering was a deeper attachment to Lord Ram. Okay. So, getting back to the story. So Saturn period occurred during Hanuman's life. And Saturn went to Hanuman, respecting Hanuman as a great personality, and said, it's time, it's better than having a horoscope, is to have Saturn personified appear before you. And Hanuman said, okay, I accept. Please just reside on my head and cause me whatever misfortune you're going to cause. So as Saturn resided on Hanuman's head, Hanuman started putting stones on his head. You know, not only stones, but rocks and all sorts of different heavy things on his head. And Saturn got a little crushed. Saturn complained. And Hanuman said, well, just get off my head. If you agree that your 7.5 years will be reduced to just 7.5 minutes. So the moral of the story is, the reason I'm telling the story, is that if one worships Hanuman and Lord Ram, chants Krishna's names and all those other nice things, then at that particular juncture, whatever inauspicious thing is to occur becomes reduced to practically nil. We have to have faith. You chant the holy names, all the lines on your palm change. You chant the holy names, all the Parabdha karma goes away. You chant the holy names, and all the Vikarma, Akarma, Karma, whatever karma, goes away. Of course, not the Akarma. Akarma means no karma. But whatever reactions you have. And not only that, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahad Agni Nirapanam. The dust in your heart becomes cleansed. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Harinam Chintamani that this occurs due even to Namabhas chanting. Namabhas chanting means something else, meaning something else, or jokingly or derisively, somehow or other saying the name of Ram. Like Valmiki, he said the name of Ram accidentally when he was chanting Mara 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 Mam Ram Ram Ram. It came Ram Ram Ram. And if he got purified, So whatever reason one chants the Lord's name, in the beginning, one may have some motive, one may be doing it accidentally, one will come to a higher level. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, she was chanting for some materialistic purpose, to have a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And then ultimately, he came to the highest level of pure devotional service, and he didn't want anything after that time. So worship Hanuman. How do we worship Hanuman? And there's a very interesting story. We serve Ram. Because what pleases Hanuman? Serving Ram. And what pleases Ram? Serving his devotees. You understand? You know, one can say, oh, I just want to please Ram, I just want to please Hanuman. But that's not the point. You've got to do something that pleases them. Like if you go to someone and you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I want to please you, please you, please you, please you. And they say, well, can you do this? And you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I want to please you, please you, please you. They say, get out of my face, so to speak. You have to do something that pleases the object of love. You want to please Hanuman, what pleases him? Right? Not just chanting his name, by chanting Ram's name. Because what is Hanuman doing? He's always chanting Ram's name. It's a very, very important point. So, anyway, and Hanuman's love for Ram is so great, and I'm sure everyone knows this story, but I'll tell it again, that one time Hanuman was given some pearls by Sita Devi, and he started chewing on the pearls. And everyone was making fun. What is this monkey doing? And to show that he was actually looking for Ram in the pearls, he opened his chest, and inside the chest was Sita and Ram. So we always had that. So anyway, that's the miracle or the story of Hanuman, and that is the story of Bali and Sugriva. And I thought I would tell that story this evening. And I think that's all we have time for today. That's about a 45-minute class. Just keep it short and sweet. So the next few days, roughly at this time, if we can do it every evening, until April 2nd is actually Thursday. Yeah, I think we can do it till then. April 2nd, we're going to be speaking stories from the Ramayana or about the Ramayana or about the personalities in the Ramayana. One story I'd like to tell tomorrow night is the story of a very interesting story of Lavanasura, the Lavanasura demon. And how he was in charge of Mathura, and Mathura got saved by Shatrughna. Okay, thank you very much. And all glories to Lord Ramchandra. I'm sorry we don't have more people here. It's just me, my mobile phone, computer, because right now we are in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Epidemic means just like a small area. Pandemic means the whole world is suffering. And one of the reasons that the whole world is suffering, of course, we can look at it from the standpoint of karma, that people have a karmic reaction. But even scientifically, medically, we can see that these pandemics, and practically every single one of them, including the Spanish flu that killed hundreds of millions of people in the early 1900s, came because people are eating animals, raising animals for slaughter. This is a scientific fact. Scientific fact. So we human beings are responsible for this pandemic. And unless people change their behavior, there'll be worse pandemics to come. So it requires a change of behavior. What is a change of behavior? Not just becoming a vegetarian, but offering the food to Krishna. Because Krishna says in the Gita that if one eats without offering to him that person is verily eating sin. So we Krishna conscious persons are not simply vegetarians, we are simply prasadarians. We're eating the mercy of the Lord. And by doing that, one gets purified, one becomes free from sins. And so this is the secret to eliminating, I wouldn't say eliminating all material miseries, because material miseries will be there as part and parcel of this world, as Krishna says in the Gita, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Panavartino Arjuna Mamu Pechadukantya Puna Janma Navijate. From the highest to the lowest planet, all are places of misery. Because ultimately, even if you live the happiest life, you have to leave this world. Leave everything behind, all the people you love and everything you strive for behind. So, but still, when we can make this place, let us say, like the kingdom of God, in the sense that everybody's glorifying God, if we follow God's orders. If we don't, then Kali Yuga, or the depths of Kali Yuga, will actually increase more and more and more. And that's what we're seeing. These are, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised by these things, because people commit activities that are against the laws of nature. Krishna has written the law, and the laws of nature, karmic laws, and also the external laws. It's all written by Krishna. If one breaks the law, laws of science, you know, we're talking here about the laws of science, the laws of nature, then you get a reaction. It's as simple as that. Because Krishna is expert in enforcing the law. He has agents who are expert. Yamaraj, the demigods, and others. So it's important we follow the laws of God in order to be happy in this world. So thank you very much. I guess that's it. See everybody tomorrow night. And of course, we'll be speaking to different devotees during the day. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Ramchandra Bhagavan.